Besides Our Lady and St. John, there were several others at the foot of the cross. A group of holy women who had followed our Lord and had ministered to him throughout the course of his public life. This group included Mary of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and several others. They had not been intimidated by the priests or the soldiers. They followed our Lord on the way of his cross. And now they stood close by to offer him the comfort of their presence. We're not surprised to find St. Mary Magdalene at his feet, though they are now bloody and pierced through with a nail. This is the fifth time that sacred scripture records St. Mary Magdalene at our Lord's feet. On the day of her conversion in the house of Simon the Pharisee, she had thrown herself at our Lord's feet. She had washed them with tears of repentance and dried them with her hair. A third time, our Lord visited the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And as Martha was busy preparing the meal, Mary again was found at the feet of our Savior, listening to him speak and hearing his doctrine. When her brother Lazarus died, Martha went out to see Jesus, and she gave that great act of faith that he could do all things, and that she believed he could even bring her brother back from the dead. But it was Mary, as soon as she came into our Lord's presence, who again fell at his feet, weeping and saying, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." It was seeing these tears in Mary's eyes that moved our Lord with such compassion that he too began to weep. After Lazarus was restored to life, there was a great feast made for our Lord, which Mary, Martha, and Lazarus attended. And Mary took this opportunity for the fifth time to be at our Lord's feet, and to anoint him with the precious and costly ointment, to show him her love and her gratitude for all that he had done in converting her from her life of sin. Sadly for Mary, and even for the Sacred Heart of Jesus at the time, there was a malcontent at this show of gratitude. Judas, in the greatest hypocrisy, Judas, who saw our Lord as worth 30 pieces of silver, he priced him as the worth of the humblest slave. He now was going to come forward and talk about money at a time when a great convert was showing her gratitude to our Lord. In front of all those guests, he took it upon himself to go even over our Lord's authority and rectify what he thought was a matter that needed public and immediately rebuke. He demanded in front of all, why was this waste? Money, which was so foremost in his mind, had blinded him from even seeing Mary's great courage, her charity for Jesus himself, and her gratitude for the forgiveness of sins. He wanted to know why Mary poured out that costly ointment. He gave the poor excuse that it was going to be used for the poor, the money that otherwise was, as he said, wasted on our Lord. But the Gospels tell us that Judas had no care for the poor. He was a thief. He kept the things that were in the purse, and he would have much rather seen the money for that spikenard come into his pocket rather than being used to show gratitude to our Lord. But we know where Judas was between 12 and 3 that day. Let us consider where Mary was. Let us consider Mary Magdalene, the grateful penitent. She is found in her usual place. Her unique place is at the foot of Jesus, and here she is again at his feet on the cross. She is unique even amongst the party of those who love and are serving Jesus to the end. She's not immaculate like Our Lady. She's not innocent like St. John. In fact, she's very guilty, one who has had to overcome many sins, just like ourselves. When she first met our Lord, she was known as Mary the Sinner. But in one moment, because she responded to the grace of God, she rose from the lowest and most degrading sins to a most special spot in the Sacred Heart. From the moment of her conversion, one priest says that no one besides Our Lady was so greatly favored as this penitent sinner. This priest writes, "Beneath the cross, as Jesus died upon it, the two Marys stood side by side, Mary Immaculate and Mary the Penitent. Was it chance that brought these two together? No, it was not chance. It was the wise and merciful design of our Savior. He wanted to impress upon you and upon me, upon poor sinners of every age down through the history of mankind, the innocence that can be regained by penance and how dear that is to His Sacred Heart." As St. Mary Magdalene then was at His feet on the cross, she could see what her sins were costing our Lord. She stood close enough to count the marks from the scourges. She could see the trembling in his members as the thorns pierced his sacred head. Those terrible nails were within her reach, nails which held her beloved Savior to the cross on account of her sins. She knew it was a punishment, like all of us, that she deserved and not him. But our Lord did not want her to go through that punishment, just as he does not ask us to go through crucifixion to be forgiven from our sins. He took that punishment upon himself. He was the one who made the reparation necessary. All he wanted from St. Mary Magdalene, just as all he wants from us, is contrition and a heart filled with nothing but love for him. It is love and contrition that should be in our hearts on this Good Friday afternoon as we consider our Lord hanging from a tree for love of us and forgiveness for our sins. But not just during this most solemn 3 hours of the entire liturgical year should we have that love and contrition in our hearts, but every time that we stand in line waiting to go to confession, making our examination of conscience, bringing to our minds and to our hearts that contrition for sin and that firm purpose of amendment, never more to offend God again. Then when we enter the confessional, we must see ourselves kneeling before Christ on the cross. In the presence of the priest, we are truly there at Calvary, telling our Lord the sins for which we are sorry, asking him once again for his forgiveness. For some, it may be several or many years since their last good confession. Maybe some have even had the misfortune of making a bad confession or receiving bad Holy Communions. But my dear friends, while we still have life, it is never too late to make amends for this. There is no sin on our soul that is so grave that our Lord's mercy and forgiveness cannot absolve us from it. There is no amount of years that has elapsed that could make us unworthy of the peace, the joy, and the consolation that was in St. Mary Magdalene's heart when she heard from our Lord that her sins had been forgiven. Nothing that can happen in our lives is beyond our Lord's power to convert back to a life of grace. If we learn anything from St. Mary Magdalene, then, let us learn from her example how powerful our Lord is in the sacrament of penance. He said himself, "I am come not to call the just, but to call sinners." He pursues sinners, calling them back to himself, ready and waiting for the smallest sign of goodwill to shower that soul with his graces and to bring that loved one back to the one fold where he is the one shepherd. Every moment of our lives, no matter where we find ourselves, our Lord will be ready to pardon any sin as long as we are sorry for it and resolved not to sin again in the future. He waits in the confessional, in the person of his priests, promising peace and paradise for all those who, in the spirit of St. Mary Magdalene, will come to him and receive the sacrament of penance worthily. How many years of penance did our Lord require of St. Mary Magdalene before he forgave her? How many times did she have to go to him seeking pardon? It was only once. "Thy sins are forgiven thee," were some of the first words she ever heard. She did not have to go through a great and lengthy process or years of penances to come to the salvation from our Lord. But as soon as she showed that she was sorry for her sins and resolved to love our Lord with her whole heart, she was forgiven every one of them. Our Lord did not hold her in suspense, but rather told her, "Go in peace." Her sins had been forgiven. His Sacred Heart had done the work necessary to return her to the status of a child of God. If a sinner had been away from God for many, many years and committed the most terrible crimes, it would only take a single moment for the heart of God to give that sinner the peace of being once again in the state of sanctifying grace the moment they made a good confession. Neither the amount of guilt nor the period of time that one has lived away from the sacrament of confession amount to any matter when our Lord comes to forgive souls. How grateful we should be to him then, even if we are used to going to confession often. When we hear those words from the priest, "Go in peace," and we realize it is Christ himself telling us this. It is Christ himself who, through the mouth of the priest, echoes down through the centuries what he told St. Mary Magdalene, "Go in peace." As she stands then at his feet on the cross at Calvary, St. Mary Magdalene cries out to each one of us, "Look at the wounds of Christ. See his arms outstretched and his heart open. Hear him promise the good thief, 'Today thou wilt be with me in paradise.' Hear him say to those who are not yet resigned to do his holy will, 'I thirst. I thirst for your souls to be converted and live.'" St. Mary Magdalene then reminds us that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance like herself rather than 99 just who have no need of penance. This afternoon, then, my dear faithful, if there is anything bothering your conscience, something you need to confess, do not be afraid to go. Do not put off a good confession any longer. And if you are in the habit of going to confession on a regular basis, make sure that as you approach this sacrament, you have the same feeling in your heart that St. Mary Magdalene had, that true contrition, that gratitude for this grace which we could never have provided for ourselves, and that determination to never leave the feet of our Lord, to never be found removed from Him. In the person of the priest, our Lord is there each and every time to encourage you and to forgive you, to help you to be like St. Mary Magdalene, ready to do all for our Lord, courageous enough to stand against the remarks of enemies like Judas, courageous enough to go against the crowd and what is common as Mary followed our Lord, paying no heed or attention to the screaming rabble or the soldiers. Having our Lord as her number one focus that day and the source and focus of her entire life, St. Mary Magdalene truly is an example to us of how much peace and contentment a soul can have, knowing that it is a true friend of Jesus crucified. And what an example she is to us of not just taking His forgiveness and the mercy that He shows us as something for granted, but doing all she could to make a return of love to Him. St. Mary Magdalene then stands there at the foot of the cross, calling out to us and to all sinners, "Come and show my beloved Lord that you too love Him, that you too want His peace coming from the sacrament of penance, and that you too have a heart overflowing with gratitude for the forgiveness He has shown you."